Hello, welcome to episode 218. This is the 218th episode of Enough. My name is Mike Hurley, and I am joined, as I always am, by Mr. Patrick Roan.
118, holy cats.
218, man. 218.
218, 218, sorry, yeah, that's a lot of shows. That is a lot of shows. That's like, you know, you could listen to one show a day for almost a year.
That is very correct.
Maybe take off some holidays and, yeah, it's crazy. Crazy, I tell you.
Many, many.
So, we've got a couple of sponsors again today.
We do. Which is great.
We should talk about at least one of them.
Right now?
Like now. Yeah, why not?
That sounds like a good idea. And then, because we've got loads of cool stuff to talk about.
Yeah, well, you know. Apple event just happened when like literally ended before we started recording this. So
we should talk about that maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
So let's talk about Squarespace.
Squarespace.
Squarespace is the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or portfolio. For a free trial and 20% off in the month of September, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code TALLYHO9. Let me tell you some stuff that I love about Squarespace.
What do you love?
Well, I've been using them for years myself, and I just find it really simple. They take all the hassle out for me, but I don't have to worry about hosting and all that nasty stuff. Things that I don't understand, because Squarespace make it really easy for me. And let me tell you some of the stuff that they do. So they're always doing things to continue building on their platform, new features and stuff like that. So they're keeping up to date with new technologies, and like if say there's a new massive social network that comes out there, then you know they will integrate that to maybe display the content on my site, like Instagram content or something like that. That's all in there, and you can create galleries.
All right.
They have new designs. They're always adding to the 20 highly customizable templates that they have, which have won design awards, and they're continuing to make their support even greater. Squarespace is really easy to use, but if you need any help, they have an amazing support team that works 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Squarespace is for everyone, whether you need a simple solution to build a website with, or if you just want to go all out with code changes and use their developer platform. Nearly every level of customization is available with Squarespace. You can choose with them a content management system that shares your high standard of design, ensuring that your clients will get a great experience whilst in the back end of their website, on top of a great looking website. And you can also create your own. You can create your own designs and implement them on top of Squarespace's platform as well. So if you just want rock solid hosting, you can do that. I want you to go and sign up for a free trial now with no credit card needed, and you can start building a website. And when you decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure you use the offer code TALLYHO9 and you'll get 20% off. And you'll also be helping support this show and all of 5x5. So I want to thank Squarespace for their support. They give you absolutely everything that you need to create an exceptional website.
For sure. Always appreciate Squarespace's support. They help to keep the lights on around here for all 218 episodes. So definitely go check them out. So as I mentioned, Big Apple event right before this, the iPhone event.
When you say Big Apple event, do you mean something happened in New York?
No, not at all. No, there's nothing happened in New York ever.
Oh.
No, New York's a sleepy little town. but Apple, the company, had a big event where they announced their new iPhones. This was a iPhone only event, pretty much. I mean, that's it. That's all they talked about. You know what people are going to say, right?
You just bought a new one?
No. People aren't going to say that. People don't care what I buy or don't buy, or yeah. My just to go on record, my iPhone 5 serves me very nicely. Will continue to do so for the next 2 years I've bought into it for. So I'm not I'm not unhappy for making that move, as it were. People are going to be like, ooh, there was nothing new. Oh, Apple's stagnated. There's no disruption there anymore.
I don't know if people are going to say that this time, Pat.
Oh, man, are you kidding me? I've already had people say it to me.
Who?
On the Twitters. I'm not going to call anyone else specifically because I don't, you know, because I'm about to shut it down right now. I'm going to shut it all down. What Apple just did with the camera alone moves the entire camera industry forward. Like, moves the needle on the entire camera industry. Not just camera phones in phones, the camera industry itself. With just what they did with the flash alone. Just the flash for the camera on the phone is more innovative than what's been done with a flash in years. Is more disruptive than what's been done with flash on any camera in years.
What did they do?
Well, basically, they've added two flashes. They have a white flash and an amber flash. And these work cooperatively in order to it analyzes several aspects of the photo that you're about to take. And it does this like in real time and decides on the best lighting combination, flash combination of those two flashes to use to produce the best, most natural color of what you're about to take. So, you know, the problem with the flash, of course, is that in different lighting environments, fluorescent versus daylight versus ambient versus backlit versus this, that, and the other thing, right? That, you know, a flash is normally kind of a one-size-fits-all sort of thing. Of course, you know, high-end professional flashes are able to kind of do some of this stuff. But nothing like this, where it is analyzing on the fly, adjusting the two flashes accordingly, and using them cooperatively to produce the best, most perfect color. You can't get that in an SLR today that I'm aware of. You can get that in the new iPhone. The analysis that it does with it, basically every time you snap a picture, it actually takes 10.
Right? I think it's 4, but yeah.
Okay.
The meaning's still the same.
Right. And it analyzes those and blends them to produce the best picture. I mean, it's just stunning, right? Most SLRs maybe do 2, you know, at best, 3.
I mean, a lot of this technology, well, a lot of these ideas are not new to smartphones. There are Android phones that do some of this stuff, but as with everything that Apple does, especially in the cameras in their phones, they do implement it and make it work a lot better. Well, history has shown this. Obviously, I can't judge these new features, but history has shown that Apple have the ability to make this stuff work a lot better.
And not only work a lot better, but they've actually moved the needle beyond what's currently available today in several of these areas, right? And not, like I said, not just available in smartphone cameras, but available in cameras, period, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, right, is that what needs to be understood is that the disruption here is not it is not as simple as oh, they just did this one thing better. No. They took an entire category of product and move the needle beyond what's currently on offer today, even with, you know, a $1,000 SLR, right? And, yeah, you know, granted, you can make arguments all day about, you know, well, look at all the other features an SLR brings to the table. I'm going to say, yes, yeah, sure. But normal, regular people don't care. They just don't care. What they do care is the fact that they're going to be able to get this for, in their minds, free when they upgrade their phone. And that's the thing, right? Apple has not only made it so that, you know, people can just take passable photos on their phone and, you know, good enough, and that's why I don't even need to buy a second camera because I have this one that's always with me and takes good enough photos. No, now it's, I don't have to buy this second camera because this one I have with me all the time is a better camera than I can buy. Is a better camera than I can even afford to buy.
It's removing that, like, the best camera is the one that you have with you. It's just the best camera is the one that you have with you.
With you.
Yes, like, not, exactly. Not it's the best because it's the best because it's in your pocket, but the best because it is technically the best camera that you own.
Exactly.
Or could own for a reasonable amount of money.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the technology of the sensors and stuff that go into these phones can't really be easily put in at this cost level, like cost to the user, that a camera can because of subsidies and stuff.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, just mind-blowing. Absolutely I'm so blown away by the camera, I can't even stand it. Just the more I look at it and the more I think about it, the more I'm just like, okay. Anyone who says, you know, there was nothing new here and that Apple is stagnated and there's no disruption anymore and all this other stuff, as I mentioned on a certain social network, I'll be happy to punch them in the nose and then take a picture of them with the iPhone S camera. You know?
I think that this, I mean, obviously we're not too far removed from the event, but this is the biggest S jump that they've had, I think. It's bigger than the 4S, and it's because the 4S was Siri, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, the Siri was a software feature, and it, you know, it was implemented later into other phones. It was only held for that phone as a selling point. And then obviously there was the camera. There was a much better camera that did video that was put into the 3GS.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, we've got a 64-bit chip.
Huge.
The fingerprint scanner.
Huge.
And the new camera.
Huge. And you haven't mentioned that M7 sensor.
The motion sensor, yeah.
You pretty much put Fitbit and Fuel Band and all of these other things out of business.
Yeah, it's like a new chip that is looking at the motion and is putting it in, is building a new chip that looks at all of the different, like, motion sensors and makes that data more available. I think they've got a new core motion API.
Right. And it's not only that it makes it more data available, but it allows one to analyze things like, are you sitting? Are you inside of a car? Are you, you know, are you walking? Are you running? Are you resting? Are you, you know, are you laying down? Are, you know what I mean? It can take all of that data and analyze it and present it in whole new ways that apps can then exploit. So that these sorts of things that you used to get from wearing a Fitbit or a, you know, Fuel Band or, you know, any of these other, what's the other one? There's another one that's
Nike. The Fuel Band, Fitbit, Jawbone Up.
There you go. That's the other one. All of those things. This not only does all of that stuff, but more importantly, presents that data in a way that apps can report on, make suggestions with, manipulate with in real time, right? I can imagine apps that, you know, say it gets to be a certain time. It says, you know what? Normally at this time, you go for a run every, you know, on this day every week. You know, you may want to consider doing that right now. Or, you know, and things like that can be done with this new chip. And I can't even begin to imagine what that might look like in a future wearable device.
Yeah, I mean, if possible, this is definitely the place that they would want to use something like that. I mean, where it might be that I just got an IM telling me that the Golden Master of iOS 7 just released. Breaking news.
Breaking.
Not that anyone that can hear this, it is breaking for them, but we're breaking it. I'm breaking it to Pat.
That's right. We're breaking it right now.
Yeah, I mean, it might just be, it's maybe not as pertinent to this device to have that chip in it as it would be a wearable device, but this gives them the perfect playground to really gather some data about how that sensor is used, gives developers time to understand how to use it, so they can better understand how to put it into a wearable. And it, you know, it could even, I'm wildly speculating, I have absolutely no idea how any of this stuff works, but let's say you could have the processor, the M7 processor in the phone, just the sensors in the watch, and then it could feed the information back and the M7 could wirelessly do the processing that's required to show things. I don't know. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, in case in case it's too much to get onto a device of that size with the potential battery capabilities that it would have, that maybe a lot of the processing could be done on the actual phone that it's paired to.
I don't know. I mean, battery technology has come a long, long, long way.
Yeah, but is it watch length? It's not. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't really want to charge, and I don't think anybody wants to have to put, and I don't think Apple would want to ship a watch-like device, if we're looking at a watch, that you would have to charge every day. I think if where they can, they would love to be able to make that a longer time period.
Do you know how thin the battery is on the iPhone 5?
Yeah, but it doesn't last very long, though.
And do you know how thin the battery is?
It doesn't matter how thin it is, Pat. It doesn't last very long at all.
Do you know how thin it is?
Tell me how
thin. Here, let me build this picture for you. What if you were to take the battery in an iPhone 5, let's just say, and fold it in half, lengthwise, you know? And maybe if you were to have several of those and, you know, stack them up to maybe about, you know, let's just say, eighth of an inch thickness, quarter inch thickness. I bet you could have a, now wrap that around a wrist. I bet you could have a battery. You could have a battery in a, you know, in a, you know, nice size band. I'm looking at my watch band right now. And where's the field notes when you need one to take a measurement?
But could you bend something like that?
No, I'm not. Hear me out. I'm not talking about bending anything necessarily. I'm just saying, you know, how thin could they make a battery that would last for, let's just say, a week? Because, you know, here I am looking at this watch band that I have on, and it's, I'd say about almost a quarter of an inch. You know, and this isn't necessarily a thick watch band. I'm just saying, I could imagine such a thing, is all I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I mean, of course, but that definitely feels a bit too futury for me.
I just
can't imagine a battery being able to be manipulated like that. Plus, I feel like strapping a battery to my wrist, I don't know how I feel about that. Especially, you know, as Apple devices have been known to get hot or to catch fire in the past. I would much prefer it if it had to be on my wrist to be localized to one point than wrapped around. Who knows? Well, who knows?
Who knows? I have no idea what this future holds. I have absolutely no sources on this, so don't take anything of what I said, you know, as anything remotely knowledgeable. It's just, you know, when I think through these things, I think about the ways they might achieve them.
You're just an ideas guy.
I'm just an ideas guy.
So you've been talking about disruption.
Yeah.
Okay, now there was one product, the real disruptive product going into this, potentially today from what we knew, what we believed that we knew, was going to be the iPhone 5C. That was what was expected to disrupt other cell phone markets in other countries where Apple has been struggling to get into, and also to disrupt the low-cost Android market. Now, I want to talk to you about that, but it's what we call tease in the business. I want to talk about our second sponsor for the show today.
Let's do that.
And then once we come back from the other side,
we'll then... let's talk about the 5C.
Okay, so I want to talk about Shutterstock.com, where you'll find over 20 million stock photos, vectors, illustrations, and video clips. You can start your search at Shutterstock.com to find that image that is perfect for your website, ad, publication, or any other creative project. Shutterstock gives you a global image collection to find images from across the world to suit any project that you're working on. You can choose between image packs and monthly subscription packages. You can choose whatever fits your needs, and you never have to compromise. If you just need one image for your blog or a mock up, you can do that too. Every time you visit Shutterstock.com, you can find new images, and you're definitely going to find new images because they add 10,000 images every single day. And it's more affordable than you think, with no extra charge for large files. You can download your stuff from Shutterstock in any size, and you pay just one price. You don't pay any more for high resolution. If you need them, just take them. Whilst you're searching around, you can easily curate and share pictures via light boxes on the web or on their iPad app too. They also have a huge library of vectors, icons, infographic templates, and video clips should you need any of those. They also have 24-hour support, and they can get you an account rep also. So go to Shutterstock.com and sign up for a free browsing account, and you can take a look around and find the images that you want. And then when you decide to purchase, use the offer code ENOUGH9, that's ENOUGH 9, and you'll get 25% off any package at Shutterstock.com.
Like us some Shutterstock.
So let me set that back up again.
Yeah, let's do it.
So going into this, one of the big things that we've been talking about is Apple wants to get into the China market. They want to get into Asia. They want to get into other parts of Europe. And the best way to do that is to go for the mid-range phone. And, you know, this will allow them to do free on contract around the world, including the US, was the hope, and off contract, the equivalent of a couple of hundred, $200 to $300, or, you know, the local currency equivalent, like £200 to £300, €200 to €300, that sort of thing, right?
Yeah.
And the phone was exactly as we expected it to be from the leaks and all the rumors and information. It is a plastic colored polycarbonate shell with the iPhone 5.
Like the old iBooks, I might add.
Yeah. Like the old iBooks. Color wise and sort of looks wise, very much like the Lumia line of products, if you're going to compare it to something.
I suppose.
Yeah, if you're looking at a phone these days, like that, you are looking at the Lumia line, brightly colored, in polycarbonate plastics. Although, I think,
aren't there like some aluminum?
They have aluminium Lumias as well, but the standard Lumia lines they have one aluminium one. The rest
are polycarbonate plastic.
Yeah, cut in bright colors. Nokia UK actually tweeted, I need to find this, I'll put it in the show notes for today's episode. It made me smile. They tweeted an image and it was like, imitation is the best form of flattery.
And they had those cheeky guys.
They had a big like image with all of the Lumia colored phones, but Microsoft basically. It's not Nokia anymore, or Nokia, it's Microsoft. But anyway, Apple did all of the above in what they released product-wise, but I don't think they really cracked what we were expecting or hoping on the price front. If you are going to be buying a on-contract iPhone 5C, it will start you at $99 and $199 for 16 gigabytes and 32 gigabytes, respectively. Off contract. Oh, do they even do them off contract? I am taking off contract phones for the 5C, which are on T-Mobile, $549 and $649.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of, I mean, here's the thing. Anyone who is paying attention to anyone in the know, they kept saying Gruber and, you know, well, I don't know if Jim Dalrymple put anything on record, but everybody was saying cheaper, not cheap.
Yeah, I understand that. But if the primary objective of the 5C was to break into those markets, then it has not succeeded in that objective, because this phone should be free in many markets on launch day. And I don't know if it will be for that at these price levels. Even in Europe, I don't know if it will be. And
As I've said on my little site that no one knows about, Minimal Mac, Apple already has that phone, and you may have noticed that they haven't removed that from their lineup.
Yeah, that's weird as well, to keep the 4S around. I mean, what it clearly shows is that Apple can't get the iPhone 5 price down enough.
Okay. Instead of saying, hey, we can't get it down enough, they said, let's get it lower and put it in a colorful shell.
I just don't think that they will probably have success with it, but I think that it's not as great a success as they could have had. But if they were just willing to shrink the margins, maybe they can't shrink the margins. Maybe it's an iPad mini problem again. But I feel like it's not going to see the success that people may have wanted or hoped. It will be a very successful product. There will be people that are in the market for a new iPhone that will buy the 5C, but they will buy it instead of the 5S, not instead of maybe something else. I don't know. It all depends on what the pricing looks like in other parts of the world, because, you know, you guys are screwed in the US over this sort of stuff. But pricing-wise in the UK, off-contract, which is really an important thing in Europe, is the off-contract price, it's not good. It's £469 for the 16 gig, and for the 5S, it's £549.
Mm-hmm.
So that difference is not big enough, in all honesty. An £80 difference between those two phones is not, it doesn't set the premium line from each other. But anyway, that's just my rant. I had the exact same rant about the iPad mini, by the way, that I didn't feel like Apple got the price down enough. But I think that I wouldn't have as great affection for the iPhone 5C as I would for the iPad mini, because it's not a new form factor, it's just a new outer shell. The reason that I love the mini is because of its size and weight. It feels like the perfect iPad. The 5C could feel like the perfect iPhone, but I don't think so.
Yeah, who knows? But I'll tell you. So, you know what I got a chance to play with? I had no idea even existed before yesterday. A Firefox phone.
Yeah, I did know that they existed, and okay.
So this thing is made by a company called ZTE. Never heard of them, but that's okay.
It's because they're the only ones that were willing to take the Firefox OS.
Yeah, well, and that's a whole nother conversation. But I will say this about it. So my friend, I pick one of these things up for $100 on eBay. Apparently they were sold through an eBay only store for a while for $80 that, and they sold out of them, and I don't know, haven't produced any more for whatever reason. Probably because they didn't get as warm a reception as, but if they sold out of them, that's a good thing. But $80 for a completely contract free, that's $80 contract free, unlocked. Completely unlocked. You can take it to, here in the U.S. to AT&T's the only network that supports it, and over in Europe, there's a few folks that do.
There would be a big handful, because it's GSM, so it would be pretty much every single network.
Yeah, exactly. So you take it in, you buy your SIM, and boom, you're good to go, right? The OS is kind of laggy and no great shakes. The way that my friend described it, and I kind of repeated that description, was if someone had brought this to him a year before the original iPhone and said, hey, this is a prototype for this new phone we're making, like, what do you think? You know, he would have been very impressed, right?
Yeah, sure, like, sure.
You know, that you know, it certainly has its issues, and it feels like a, you know, it feels like a prototype. It feels like a decent beta. You know what I mean? Like a kind of solid beta, but still a beta. You know, there are bugs. It's a little bit laggy in spots. All of the apps, quote unquote, that you can download for it are all web apps, just like the original iPhone. And those take varying times of slowness to launch. And that, you know, could be due to many factors, including the Wi-Fi connection we were on when he showed me this thing, which was in a coffee shop. So make of that what you will. So from a software perspective, no great shakes, but, you know, $100 for a completely unlocked smartphone that has a completely, like, free and open OS. And this is the other thing he pointed out, and he's a programmer sort of guy, and he's like, you know, he's like, I'm betting that several of these bugs that I've run into, I could just go in and fix myself, because you can download the source and completely flash this thing, right? Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, wow, what an interesting concept and what an interesting idea. But the reason I bring it up here is just simply because I like the size of the device, and I like the curves of it. It had a hand feel that reminded me much of that kind of original iPhone, much more kind of curvy around the edges, and felt quite a bit better in the hand, at least from a holding it wrong perspective, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And so I'm interested in the iPhone 5C because I'm betting that it's got a somewhat similar hand feel, or at least similar to that of, say, the 3G, you know, or the 3, you know what I mean? That kind of curviness that, you know, while I can appreciate the sort of, you know, Bauhaus, you know, Dieter Rams minimalism of the boxy design of the 4 and the 5 and the, you know, polished chamfers and stuff like that, I have to say that the older models had a better hand feel, all things told.
Yeah.
So take of that what you will. But, you know, what was interesting was this was an iPhone event, and it was only an iPhone event. They discussed iOS 7. They discussed the iPhone. That was it. That was pretty much it. They showed some new store in Stanford that, you know, looks like Dieter Rams' inspired design. But other than that, it's like all iPhone all the time. And I don't know. I think you're going to hear a lot of pushback on that. You're going to hear a lot from the naysayers and those who have lost faith that Apple hasn't done anything new. And I'm here to tell you that they've done a lot of new in all the places where it matters to their bottom line. And the year's still young.
It is indeed.
This season is still young. There's a lot of time between now and Christmas.
We'll definitely see iPads. I think we'll definitely see iPads before the end of the year.
Yeah, and you know, just remember that they had kind of a similar event, what was it, a couple of years ago, or maybe with the iPhone 5, I forget, where, you know, everyone flew out for the big iPhone event and, you know, got back home and opened up their email and here was a one more thing invitation to the next thing, right? I wouldn't be surprised if something similar in feel happens between now and, say, middle of October.
Yeah.
So, Well, I think we've beat this horse dead enough. So where can they find us, Michael?
They can go to patrickrone.com. That's PatrickRhone. And he's also at Patrick Rhone to catch up with you. And I am at iMike, iMyke.
Terrific. And with that, we'll chat later.
We will. Cheers.
Cheers.